John chapter number 8, if you look with me there, and to say a few things, if God will help me tonight, in John chapter number 8. And, of course, this is the chapter of the Lord forgave the adulterous woman. And he went on talking about how he was the light of the world. Of course, when Jesus was on earth, the greatest conflict and trial and troubles he had were from religious people. It's from people that wasn't willing to change from their tradition and from their religious ways to Christ and the new covenant. And here we pick up reading tonight in verse number 30. The Bible says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Yeah.
And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed.
Yeah.
And I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. And I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen of your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus saith unto them, if God were your Father, ye love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of him. And because I tell you the truth, you believe not. Which of you convince of me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. Well, here the Lord's in conversation with a bunch of Pharisees, a bunch of religious people that had denied who he was, that had denied, thank God, his testimony and record of his sonship as being the Son of God. And they, my friend, tried to tell him that they were Abraham's seed, which they were in the flesh, but they had never seen the truth. And Jesus said, ye shall know the truth. And the truth, the only thing can make a man free. I want to try, God, to help me a while to preach. Thank God on God. Is God your Father? I tell you, he's not the Father of all men. He is the Creator of all men. But God's not the Father of all men. For God to be a man's Father, he's got to be in God's family. And the only way a man gets in God's family is to be born into God's family. And the only way to be born into God's family is to be born by the Spirit of God. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus one day. He said, you must be born again. And for a man to get in the family of God, he's got to have got to have two births. Amen. And so I'm preaching tonight is God your Father. Now these men here claim that God was their Father. And Jesus said in verse 42, He said, if God were your Father, you'd love me. Well, I'm glad God loves us, aren't you? Thank God, I tell you, one of the things I know the days, He knows who I am. Amen. The Bible said, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And God knows His children, God knows His sheep, and God knows His family. Thank God, His family knows Him, and He knows them. My brother, there wasn't a time God didn't know me. Amen. He told that crowd in Matthew chapter 7 that came to send him, said, have we not done many wonderful works in thy name, cast out devils, prophesied? And Jesus said to them, I never knew you. And then was one time he knew him, but he said, I never knew you. I'm glad he knew me before. Thank God I was ever born. Amen. There's never been a time God didn't know who I was. There's a time I was a lost man, undone without God, without hope. But I'm glad God knew where I was at. Amen. Just like He knew where the woman at the well was when He had to go by her way. And thank God revealed to her who He was. Thank God, I tell you, everything God does, He does it on purpose. Amen. I get tickled at some of these preachers that say God's trying to do something. Well, God has never tried to do nothing. He's always done what He set out to do. Well, He's God. Could you imagine saying God's up there trying to do something? Well, God does what His purpose is. God does what His will is. God, my friend, does it all. I tell you, there's never been anything that God could do. I tell you, can't lie. I know that. And I know He can't die. I know that. But I tell you, if He ever sets out to do anything, He'll get her done. Amen. He's never failed one time. He's always done right. He knows how to get a hold of men's hearts. I tell you one thing this night. Thank God, when God decides in His good will to do something, God will get it done. Amen. That's right. Thank God. I tell you, you know, it'd be something we had a God had to try to do something. Amen. God didn't try to save you. Amen. God saved you on purpose too. Amen. You didn't stumble along and get saved one day. It was God that came where you were at in a lost estate. Put a man of God in your pathway. The Holy Ghost used that man of God to preach to you. And the Word of God got in your heart and birthed you in the family of God. It was all in purpose and on purpose. Amen. I tell you, He knows He is. Thank God, this crowd of people here, they didn't know the God of heaven. But I tell you, He knows who His is. Amen. That's right. I'm glad for that. Thank God. I tell you, you know the blood tonight's sufficient. That's right. The blood of Christ is sufficient tonight to save any sinner. There's no sinner that God can't save. As long as they're savable, they ain't lying to get saved. Amen. That's right. God's blood, Christ's blood's sufficient. It's sufficient to save the whole world. The whole world could be saved by the blood tonight because it's sufficient. The blood of Christ is sufficient. His blood wasn't shed in vain. He didn't go to the cross. Thank God, hoping it would depend on mankind. It was, thank God, He went to the cross to give His life for sinners. Thank God that when they repent toward Him, He could save them. Amen. The blood in the Old Testament could never take away sin. It was only a type or a shadow of them things to come. That when they took the animal's blood and placed it on the mercy seat, it can never take away sin. The only way man could be atoned for, it was for 1 year. And the high priest had to go back in the next year and God to offer up blood for his sins and for the sins of the people. But thank God, when Christ died, He went to Calvary. Calvary and done it once and for all. And when he went back to heavenly places, blood on the mercy seat, having obtained the term redemption for us, the Bible said, that is sufficient to save any sinner, but it's only efficient unto them that repent. Amen. That's right. The only way a man can say tonight, and I understand that when men stand before God one day on Judgment Day, they'll stand before Christ, the one who their sin crucified, the one who they must answer to, the one that, thank God, stands in judgment as the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole world must be my friend stopped, and they become guilty before God tonight. And every man's guilty of sin. Every man's guilty of breaking the law of God. Every man's sinned against God. And the only way a man can be saved, thank God, is the one who did not sin, is the one that gave himself for sin, is the one that shed his blood for sin. Thank God that God accepts, and because God accepts him, God accepts me tonight. Amen. But I'll tell you this tonight, are you hearing me? Listen to me tonight. When Christ shed his blood on the cross, it wasn't spilt nor was it shed in vain. It was for the purpose of purchasing, thank God, sinners. Amen. Only sinners can be saved. And when the blood was shed, thank God it was for us. He laid upon himself the iniquity of us all. And he shed his blood, thank God, for sin. But nobody knows about that until they get saved. Nobody has the knowledge of being washed in the blood till they've been washed in the blood. You can hear about it, but until you experience it, you're not going to know what I'm preaching about, because the blood has to be applied to be efficient to a sinner's heart. Amen. That's right. Thank God. It's not historical facts that saves a man. In fact, it's not just the facts of the Bible that saves a man. You can believe the facts, but if the facts has never become reality to you, then you never will have been born again. God has to speak to a man. God has to talk to a man within his own heart. Salvation is between God and that man. Salvation, the night you got saved, it's not personal. Amen. That's right. You know, before when you sat in the house of God and you heard preach it, and you know what? It wasn't personal that God made it personal in your heart. It had to get personal where you was at. And when God made it personal, and you seen yourself as a guilty sinner, and you seen yourself lost, that's when business picked up. Because God spoke you on purpose, thank God, to bring you out of death and sin unto life. And you found out the blood was efficient. Amen. That's right. Thank God, without the blood tonight, there'd be no forgiveness of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there'd be no cleansing. Without the shedding of blood, there'd be no pleasing God, an appeasement at judgment, an atonement for the same. It's Jesus Christ and his shed blood, and he knows me tonight. Amen. That's right. Thank God, he knows me through his Son. He knows you through his Son. That's right. You know what God did? He transferred your sin upon his Son. He took my sin. Now get this, and I'm preaching the book. Isaiah said the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Well, if it's laid on him, it's not on me. That word hath is past tense. He said the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Did not the writer say that he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world in the mind of God? Thank God, before there's ever a sin, there's a Savior. Thank God, but I tell you that's right. Before Adam ever disobeyed God, God had a Savior. Thank God, God had a plan. Everything, my friend, was set up by God. God didn't let man do it, and then God decided. God knew, and God set her up. That when mankind fell, he already had a Savior. Amen. That's right. Now I'm telling you, he's the same Savior that always has been. That's right. There's not but one Savior, and that's Christ. But the only way a man can be saved is to come to Christ, or Christ be in you. You see, he's the only one that took our sin. It'd be foolish tonight to say you got to be baptized to go to heaven.
Yeah.
It'd be foolish tonight to say you got to be good enough to go to heaven. If you aren't, then you're not going because you're not good enough. There's never been a man good enough to enter the kingdom of God. I don't care who you are. You can join every church in Wayne County and still go to hell. I mean, you got to be born again. You got to know Christ and he's got to know you. You see, the greatest thing about being saved, thank God, is he knows me. That's what Jesus said in John 17. He said, and this is eternal life. Thank God that we know God. And God knows me tonight. Amen. He knows you tonight. He knows his own sheep tonight. Amen. God knows us tonight. That's right. God knows who you are. God knows everything about you. God knows what you think. God knows where you're sitting. God knows your uprising. God knows your thought afar off. There's nothing God don't know about you. There's nothing God don't know. Amen. God knows you tonight if you're saved. Amen. That's right. Thank God. He said he cast our sins
right
in the sea of forgetfulness. That's right. He remembered no more. That's what he said. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Amen. Why can't you get past that? Well, I guess because you're still in human flesh. But the fact of it is, God don't remember one sin. He don't hold no sin against me. At the judgment of God, I'm free, brother. That's what he's saying here. If the Son, therefore, sets you free, make you free, you shall be free indeed. That freedom, thank God, and that's in Christ. That freedom's in Jesus Christ. And so he knows me, he loves me, forgives me. Like the prodigal's daddy. Amen. When he came up a road that had sinned against his old father, had it done evil in the sight of God. And when he got back, he said, I've sinned against heaven. And in that side, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Thank God he hugged him, kissed him. I put the best robe on him. I put a ring on his fingers and shoe on his feet. I tell you tonight, friend, you know why? That was his son. Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. Amen. You know what? People say, you believe in eternal security. Well, I mean, if it be the Bible, I do.
Yeah. Right.
If it be the Bible, I do.
Yeah.
If I believe the Bible, I believe in eternal salvation.
Yeah.
How long's eternal?
Yeah.
How long is it?
Yeah.
When did it begin?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And then again in time.
That's right.
Amen. Eternal life is in me. When I got saved, Christ in you, the hope of glory, he's eternal God. I have eternal life in me. How could I lose eternal life? I didn't get it by my own doings. And I can't keep it my own doings. I'm kept by the power of God. I'm kept by the hand of God. I can't listen, friend. Listen to me tonight. It's a foolish thing to think tonight that God has saved you by the power and grace of God, and then God will leave it up to you to make it to heaven. There wouldn't be an individual to ever make it, I'll tell you that. If it's not by the grace of God in Christ, there'll never be anybody to step in the kingdom. I tell you that. Thank God, we all got enough sin in us tonight because we still carry around flesh. And we got enough faults and failures. God help us that God can keep us from ever enjoying or entering heaven. Amen. It's not based on that. That's why Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, and where I am there, you may be also.
Yeah.
Amen. He said, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Hey, God, if you got make it, you'll make it because of him tonight. Amen. That's right. There ain't a nut listening to me tonight. And you know good and well, I believe when a man gets saved, he's a new creature. I believe when he gets born again, a man's a new creature. I don't believe he continues living in sin. I don't believe that. Romans 6 says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That's a salvation, not a profession. It's not a profession. It's not a Sunday religion. I understand what people say. So when that fellow there says he's saved, well, if he is, he's a new creature. There's something in that man that God did that passed him from death unto life. But get this here. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the truth is not in us. I'm going to tell you this tonight. You better hear me. Don't you ever get to the place that you think you've arrived. Don't you ever get to the place that you think that you're without sin. I'm without sin because of Christ in the eyes and position that I have in Christ. But I'm not without sin in this flesh because this flesh still falls short. This flesh still sins. You say, the man told me, he said, that's a sinning religion. No, it ain't. Thank God. It's a great, graceful God. That God would have mercy on me. Even as I am. Amen. That's right. Somebody said, well, if you sin, you'll lose it. I said, well, what sin will cause you to lose it? How many sins does it take to lose it? If you ever got it, you respect it. You regard it. You thank God for it. A man that's saved don't abuse grace. If he does, then God will convict him of doing them kind of things. He can't live a life, my friend, for the devil. That's what Jesus said. He said to this crowd, he said, you are of your father the devil. I believe this tonight. I know, buddy, when I get on some of this stuff, I'm looking at it from the eyes of Christ. I'm not looking at it from the eyes of men. I'm looking at this thing as from the eyes of Christ because Christ knew who he was talking to. I can't go out here and say that man's a child of the devil and that man's a child of God. I know some fruit that men have surely testify of what they are. And the Bible does say you shall know a tree by the fruit it bears. And if it's an apple tree, there'll be apples on it. If it's a pear tree, you'll get a pear off of it. But Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. This was religious, reprobate people. Have you recognized what Jesus told them in verse number 43? Look what he said. He said, why do you not understand my speech? Now get this, I did not write the Bible. I can only say the Holy Ghost is the author of this King James Bible. And I don't know why people don't want to accept what God says. The only thing I can think of is, it's just not what I've been taught. It's just not the way I've been taught. Because you've been taught wrong. I'll tell you what, there's been enough arguments over when Jesus is going to come. There's more people talk to me about that. When's he coming, preacher? Are you a pre-rapture man? Are you a mid-trib man? Are you a post-millennialist and all this stuff? And I'm telling you, you can argue about that and argue about that. I'm telling you, I do believe the Lord's coming before the tribulation. I stand there. That's my belief in it. But thank God, friend, I'm not going to take my time to try to prove it. Amen. I know good men. I said good men that don't believe. That has preached before, but I still believe he's coming. Thank God before the tribulation starts. Amen. But I'll tell you this tonight. Somebody said my grandma didn't believe that way. Well, I don't really want to get ugly about it, but if grandma didn't believe right, I'd rather believe what God says. Amen. I'll tell you this. A man asked me, and I said, my heart's open to truth. What I believe and God showed me is concrete as I'm standing right here on 2 feet. Amen. But I'm open to the voice of God. Just because Dr. Bottlestopper said it don't mean it's right. Amen. That's right, isn't it? Right. I don't know what God says. I believe we've been thrown a lot of stuff. And you know, people say, well, I believe the whole Bible. I do too.
Right.
Everything in between it. I just don't know it all. But some things are no good because I've experienced it. And you're not going to fool me on some things. Amen? That's right. But this is what Jesus said right here to these men in verse number 43. I tell you what he said right here. He said, why do you not understand my speech? You can't. Unless he gives you understanding. Where would you have been tonight? Where would you be tonight if God hadn't come to you and gave you the understanding of the Word of God that you could have had born again salvation? Hey, where would any of us be? I wasn't raised in a Baptist church. I wasn't raised around an old-time preacher. You boys are. Thank God you got more understanding than what I have. Hey, man, you raised in it. Thank God. There is a difference. Hey, man, you've been raised in it. I wasn't raised in it. I wasn't raised in a Baptist church. I was raised in Methodist. Forgive me of that, but that's just fact. Mama took me there, amen. It was dead, about like most Baptist churches are today. Because God's people's more stirred about the world than they are of Jesus. I went there and never heard the voice of God. But what I'm saying tonight is, you can't understand unless God gives you understanding. Thank God. What did the Ethiopians say? Philip went to him and he said, you understand what you read? Old Brother Milby one time was preaching and he was with a man that knew Greek and Hebrew and all that stuff. And he said, what's that word there mean there in the Greek? The man told him. He said, what's that word there say right there, that Hebrew word? What's that mean? That man told him. He said, how about telling me about being born again? That man couldn't say much about that. That's right. I want to tell you tonight, it ain't education to get some man in the family of God. That's right. You can educate people all day, but education's not going to save them. I'll tell you what, we need to educate our people in truth. That's right. Most people won't take it. I just don't believe it. We haven't been taught that way.
Yeah.
I've had them tell me that come to this church, and they said, buddy, I just don't believe that way. I said, you know, I said, well, what do you believe? Boy, one guy got mad at me one night, and he was all red-faced, and he said, I don't believe what you said. I said, well, what do you believe? You know what he said? He said, I believe what that other man said.
Yeah.
I said, you better get it for yourself.
Right.
Thank God. What I'm preaching tonight, thank God's God-given. I mean, this book is God-taught. Huh? Thank God that's not my friend taught. Huh? About me, and it's taught by God. Amen. That's right. If you're not God-taught, you won't get taught.
Right.
Notice what he said here in that verse. He said, even because ye cannot hear my word.
Right.
He said, you can't hear it. You cannot hear it. You cannot hear it. I'm going to tell you this tonight. If you're saved, here's one evidence of salvation. Listen to me. Check your own heart out. I'm not trying to get anybody to make a profession. God help, I'm against that. I don't like people making professions. I like to see God deal with people's heart and bring them to salvation.
Amen.
I preached a meeting last summer. I never come back to y'all and said how many people said they got saved. That's about a dozen of them made a profession. But I'm telling you, there is evidence in a man's life that he's ever been saved. Thank God. He just don't profess it. There's things in his life that will be there if he's a true child of God.
Amen.
Get this, I'll give it to you. His word has a place in you.
Yeah.
Look at verse 37. Jesus said, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. And listen to me right now. This is going to be pretty hard, but it's just a God's truth. You come to the house of God, you telling me this Bible don't ever have no effect on you, that's because no word has no place in you.
That's right.
Amen, bro.
That's right.
That's right.
You're
right.
That's just the truth.
I'm telling you, brother, if a man's up here preaching on giving, I'm ready to give. If a man's up here preaching on, thank God we need to get out in this neighborhood and witness, let's go.
Yeah.
If a man gets up here and preaches the Word of God, it'll find place in your heart.
Yeah.
Because you're His.
Yeah.
If you're not His, it don't have no place in you.
Yeah.
If somebody has to keep trying to prod you and come on, you need to hear the preaching. You need to believe this. You need to do this. I'm going to tell you what. I'm not an emotional. I'm not my friend. Come, thank God to be a motivational speaker.
Yeah. Amen.
God didn't call me to be a Joel Holstein.
Amen.
God help us. He's not but a religious cheerleader anyhow. And all he is a motivator to get people to do something, and it ain't worth nothing. Friend, if God don't put it in a man's heart, if God don't give it to him, he won't do it. It don't matter how much you talk to him. Nobody had to call me this morning and say, "Preacher, will you please read your Bible?" Why? Because I'm His. There's a place in the preaching of the Word of God. When men preach, there'll be action from God's people toward preaching. There will be. This revival this past week we had from Sunday to Wednesday night, we had about 8 messages in that period of time. And I'm telling you what, there will be a hunger and a place for the Word of God if you're one of His tonight. We don't have to have entertainment in the house of God. We don't have to have ball teams and hay rides and all these things that they conjure up to try to pacify a bunch of carnal people that don't have no desire for the book. Amen. I got a Bible tonight. I'm right here, an old King James Bible. I got a Bible. And I'm going to tell you what. If you can show me in the Bible where any New Testament church had a bunch of games, then we'll do them. They don't have no games in there. Anything under the name of Westside Baptist Church ought to be spiritual.
Amen.
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 There ought not nothing be done in the name of God and His church. That's a bunch of carnality. It don't help nobody. I tell you what, it'll help you meeting Christ head on. Being born again. Thank God, finding Him. Thank God, knowing Him. And Him knowing you. Thank God, I tell you, that's what I do something for you tonight. Do you know Him? It's God your Father tonight. I'll tell you something else He'll do. Not only will He, His Word have a place in you, you'll love Jesus. That's what He said in verse 42, that crowd. He said, if God were your Father, you'd love me. I got a real problem. People in the church love other people and love things more than they do love Jesus. That's right.
That's right.
Listen, what I'm about to say, I'm not saying this in a reproving way. I'm saying this in a instructional way, okay? Our singing ought to glorify Him. Our preaching ought to glorify Him. Our testifying ought to glorify Him. It ought to always glorify Christ. Our giving ought to glorify Him. Everything we do is because we love Him. Thank God when He shows up and He makes known Himself. Thank God that's when we can really worship.
Yeah.
That's right. That's why the Laodicean church age, he is outside the church and not inside of it. That's why he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He said, "If you'll sup with me, I'll sup with you. I'll sup with you and you sup with me." You'll have to open the door. That's right. And the knob's on the inside too. It's not on the outside.
Right.
And I'll tell you this, and I'm through tonight. If God's your Father, you're free.
Yeah.
You're free.
Yeah.
You're free. You're free from religious tradition and bondage. You're free from sin.
Amen.
You're free
right.
from guilt. You're free from the fear of man. And you have the fear of God. The Amazing Grace writer said, "It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved."
Yeah.
It was the fear of condemnation and the fear of dying in sin that gripped my heart when I was a lost man. That I couldn't stand to think that I could stand before God guilty with bloody hands of my sins nailing Him to Calvary and rejecting life in itself.
Yeah.
You know what these men did? They rejected the Word of life. They rejected the liberty that Christ gives. And tonight, God, thank God, says in His Word, He said in His Word, God's Word says, no man cometh to the Father but by me.
Right. Yeah.
That's what Jesus said.
Yeah.
Right.
You say, preacher, I've heard that so many times. I'm glad you have, because that's what it'll take.
Yeah.
And when I was a lost man and lived for myself and lived for the flesh, and the sin of this world, I was controlled by Satan. I was controlled by the flesh. I was controlled by my desires of the flesh and of my mind. And were by nature, my natural man was a child of wrath or disobedience. I could not do nothing unless grace came to where I was at. Through faith in Christ, it brought me into the family of God. God became my Father. Amen. And tonight, thank God, I'm telling you, He still is my Father. And He knows me, and I know Him. And I tell you, been saying tonight, thank God He's your Father tonight. That's why He taught His disciples to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." He taught His own men to pray that prayer.
Amen.
That's not the Lord's prayer. That's the model prayer. He taught His own men to pray. No. "Our Father which art in heaven."
Right.
When Jesus prayed John 17, He said, "Father."
Yeah.
He prayed John 17. He said, "Father." What did He say? "Come to do the will of the Father." Everything Jesus come to do, He said, "I come to do everything to please the Father."
Amen.
That's what He said. Amen. You know what He'll do tonight as a Father? He'll take care of you. He'll provide for you. He'll supply every need. He'll comfort you. There's nothing my Father can't do because I'm saved tonight. Thank God I'm His and He can take care of me. And He does take care of me. I see little children walk into church, and I'll close with this. I watch these little boys and girls walk in church. I see them held by their father's hand. Maybe they're holding them. You know, there's comfort in that. There's security in that. That's right. That little old boy, he's got security in you. He's got comfort. When he's afraid, he can have comfort in his father.
Amen.
When he's got a need, he can come to his father. But what did the Lord say? How much more? How much more shall your heavenly Father, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to them that ask Him? Huh? I preached a message one time on some things a father likes to hear. One of them is, "I love you."
Yeah.
You think God likes to hear that? I know He does.
Amen.
I tell you another thing a father likes his children to say. Not only "I love you," but "help me."
Yeah.
That's right. He likes you to say, "Help me."
Amen.
It feels pretty good, Brother Keith, if one of your little children come up, that little old boy, Brother Todd, come up, and Guy and Trevor come up and say, "Daddy, I love you."
Yeah.
Something special in your heart about that.
Yeah. Right.
What if he come up and say, "Daddy, I need you. Daddy, will you help me?" Thank God. Are you depending on Him tonight? Has every care you got cast upon the Father in heaven? Ain't a thing He can't do for you.
That's right.
That's why He said, live by faith. Seek the first the kingdom. Amen. For the Father knows such things as you have need of.
Right.
I can tell you in this life, Matthew, I can tell you this for sure. Every need you got, there's a Father in heaven to take care of it. I can tell you that for sure. I can tell this church tonight, there's not nothing He can't do for you.
Right.
If you'll come to Him tonight.
That's right.
Nothing. Ain't nothing. Let's stand tonight and preach.